Poetry Out Loud is a statewide poetry recitation contest among high schools. I went to the North Dakota finals on February 26th. The event is put on by the North Dakota Council on the Arts with support from the National Endowment for the Arts and the North Dakota Humanities Council. We'll explain a bit later about how it works, but first let's have a poem. This is by one of the winners, Maggie Weeks of the Magic City campus of Minot High School. She was coached by Jacob Thomas. And the poem, this is appropriate given that we're supposed to have some bad winter weather coming in the next few days, is about being housebound in bad winter weather, housebound with a teenager, recited by a teenager.
Icebound by Walter Bargan. Sky's gray sheet spreads icy rain. Through the night we heard the branches cracking. Now they bend with the bowed ache of apostrophes. Backs to the window, sitting on the couch, we listen as the radio announces the list of schools closed. An hour earlier, I inched my way along the road, tires spinning toward the ditch. Now I read aloud to a teenage daughter who tolerates my foolishness. My claim that Lao Tzu traversed a more slippery world. With two books open on my lap, one in my hand, two on the floor, I am surrounded by imperfect translations. A gathering chaos, something mysteriously formed, without beginning, without end, formless and perfect. She responds, "Sure, I knew that. So what?" I persist. That existed before the heavens and the earth, before the universe was born. She's ready to go upstairs and listen to the radio. I ask, what was her face before her parents were born? She answers, nothing. I ask again. She says it again. Where are the angels, knights on humble knees, the psalms of faith, the saints of daylight? She walks out of the room. I'm surrounded by thin books. How pointless to go anywhere on this day, or maybe any other. But then the time comes when there is no other way but to stand firm on ice.
Icebound, recited by Maggie Weeks from Minot. You notice I said recited, not read. They memorized the poems. You can get an idea about how the whole thing works in this conversation I had with another one of the finalists, Emily Gilsrud from Wahpeton.
So most of the English classes have to do a poem for the grade. And then from each class, 1 to 3 people are picked, and then they get to go on to the school-wide competition, and then whoever wins the school-wide one gets to come here.
And how do they put on the school-wide competition? Is it just different people in classes, or?
Everyone from that won their class ones from all the grades go into the auditorium. They have a little assembly thing. Well, some of the school comes too. Yeah. I love it. I've gotten to come here the last 2 years, too, and I always get super excited when it's time to do them, and it's fun to be on stage and get to do the speaking and get that experience.
How did you pick your poems this year?
Well, the first one, called Today, my English teacher likes the poet that wrote it and got to see him
Billy
live.
Collins,
yeah. So she was talking about him in class once, so I looked him up, and I really liked that poem. And then the other ones I just found looking, because we have to have one from pre-20th century. So just clicked on that and was scrolling through them, and I found Let the Light Enter, which I really like.
When you're picking them, do you think about what they mean or how hard they'll be to read or memorize, or what do you think about?
Yeah, I try to find something that challenges me.
All right, well, let's hear her do a poem. This is Emily Gilsrud from Wahpeton High School, coached by Heather Woods and Christy Maher at Poetry Out Loud.
What the Oracle Said by Shar McCollum. You will leave your home. Nothing will hold you. You will wear dresses of gold, skins of silver, copper, and bronze. The sky above you will shift in meaning each time you think you understand. You will spend a lifetime chipping away layers of flesh. The shadow of your scales will always remain. You will be marked by sulfur and salt. You will bathe endlessly in clear streams and fail to rid yourself of that scent. Your feet will never be your own. Stone will be your path. Storms will follow in your wake, destroying all those who take you in. You will desert your children, kill your lovers, and devour their flesh. You will love no one but the wind and ache of your bones. Neither will love you in return. With age, your hair will grow matted and dull. Your skin will gape and hang in long folds. Your eyes will cease to shine. But nothing will be enough. The sea will never take you back.
Emily Gilsrud from Wahpeton. We'll hear from her again. That was kind of intense and dark. I think she challenged herself with that one. Here is one that is a little less dark. This is about a wonderful moment achieved while dancing. And this is David Moreno from a community high school in Grand Forks, coached by Eileen Zeigerlicki.
American Smooth by Rita Dove. We were dancing. It must have been a foxtrot or a waltz. Something romantic, but requiring restraint. Rise and fall. Precise execution as we moved into the next song without stopping. Two chests heaving above a seven-league stride, such perfect agony one learns to smile through. Ecstatic mimicry being the sine qua non of American Smooth. And because I was distracted by the effort of keeping my frame, the leftward lean, head turned just enough to gaze out past your ear and always smiling. I didn't notice how still you'd become until we had done it. For two measures. Four. Achieved flight. That swift and serene magnificence. Before the earth remembered who we were and brought us down.
David Moreno from Community High School in Grand Forks. I should mention, there was actually a nice crowd there for this, family and friends and members of the public. I ran into a couple of faithful Prairie Public listeners there who didn't have any direct connection other than appreciation of the performances. It is something of an event, this Poetry Out Loud statewide competition. It's not the Olympics, but there's a little bit of ceremony and pageantry. And I asked Rebecca Engelman, who is the chief organizer of it, if there were someone there from a school that had not participated before, that it was their first year. And she directed me to this next person.
I'm Caitlin Johnson from the Turtle Mountain Community High School.
So this is the first year that Turtle Mountain has participated in Poetry Out Loud, right?
Yes, it is.
So how did you decide to participate in this?
Well, I'm a first-year teacher, and I was lucky enough to go to the North Dakota Council of Teachers of English Conference. And that's where I was kind of exposed to Poetry Out Loud, and we had Jesse Veeder perform for us, and I thought it was such a amazing program. I was kind of jealous because I would have liked to have something like that when I was in high school. So
where did you go to high school?
I went to Turtle Mountain Community High School. Okay. So I kind of returned back to my home roots, and that's where I teach now. And I just thought it was such an amazing program. So I started registering the school, and I was just kind of blown away by this year and overwhelmed, but it was really fun to get to know the program and have the experience.
So what was the reaction of the students and the parents and other people to this new competitive poetry thing? So,
I think the reaction was hesitation at first, just because sometimes poetry can be overwhelming for students. But it was a fun way to get them to recite and to analyze and to understand poetry and not have that hesitation for, oh my goodness, how are people going to react to my poetry? They get to recite someone else's. Uh-huh. So it's kind of a way that they get to analyze and understand without that extra competition for creative writing.
Uh-huh. And so how do you feel about the first year now that you've done 1 year? And what do you think students get out of it? You talked a little bit about that, but...
Well, we were lucky enough to get a poet in school's grant, and we were able to host Tanea Winder, and she was a Native American from southern states. So having the experience of exposing the students to a very successful Native American poet was amazing for them. And they were seeing firsthand the creative writing components, the analysis components, and they were able to see Tanea in action. And they were kind of amazed, and so was I, just because it was completely different from my expectations. It superseded my expectations, just because it was an amazing opportunity for them to really see someone in action, somebody like them.
Caitlin Johnson, once a student at Turtle Mountain Community High School and now an English teacher there, she brought to the statewide finals for Poetry Out Loud Haviland Maxson, doing a poem that is a favorite of many, many people.
Hope is a thing with feathers by Emily Dickinson. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings a tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could have bashed the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never an extremity it asked a crumb of me.
Good old Emily Dickinson. I'm a judge at Poetry Out Loud, and we judges talk among ourselves, and this next poem is one that we thought was probably pretty difficult to get the recitation right. But Kaylee Stanger from Shanley High School in Fargo did a great job with it.
Now I Pray by Kathy Engel. Ashen face, wool hat bobbing, the young boy's eyes dart to me, then up at the man pulling a rolling suitcase whose hand he holds, then back at me. His legs move as if without gravity. The man asks, "Do you know a church on the street that serves free food?" I want to say I know. That the names of churches on an avenue called America's roll out of me. I want to tell you it is temporary, their condition. Suitcase, darting eyes, seeking free food at 9 p.m. in a big city on a school night. I want to tell you I don't for a moment wonder if that is really the boy's father or uncle or legitimate caretaker. Something in the hand-holding and eyes, having watched too many episodes of Law and Order. I want to tell you I take them to a restaurant and pay for a warm meal, or empty my wallet, not worrying how offensive it might be, because in the end, hunger is hunger. I want to tell you I call someone who loves them, that there is someone, and say, "Your guys are lost, can you come?" I want to tell you I sit down on the sidewalk at the corner of Waverly and pray that all passing by, anonymous shoes marking the pavement, join in a chorus of prayer humming like cicadas in the Delta. I want to tell you the boy and the man eat food encircled by the warmth of bodies. I want to turn the cold night into a feast. I will tell you, I am praying.
Kaylee Stanger from Shanley High School Shanley is kind of a poetry powerhouse, and I expect that's due in substantial part to the person who coached Kaylee, Brian Jeffrey. We haven't heard yet from the person who won first place and will go on to the national contest. Her name is Maria Modi. She was coached by Lori Koenig at Fargo North.
The Waking by Theodore Rothke. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. I feel my fate in what I cannot fear. I learn by going where I have to go. We think by feeling. What is there to know? I hear my being dance from ear to ear. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. Of those so close beside me, which are you? God bless the ground. I shall walk softly there and learn by going where I have to go. Light takes the tree, but who can tell us how? The lowly worm climbs up a winding stair. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. Great nature has another thing to do to you and me. So take the lively air and lovely learn by going where to go. This shaking keeps me steady, I should know. What falls away is always and is near. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. I learn by going where I have to go.
We'll hear more from Maria later. Solon High School on Standing Rock south of Bismarck hasn't been participating in the Poetry Out Loud contest too long, but they've sent some good people. This year, Dylan Redbow came up, and some other students from Solon came up to cheer him on. I talked to one of them.
Kenyon Uzazero from Solon High School.
And how did they do the Poetry Out Loud contest at Solon?
First, we practiced it in class. Then we had competition in class to qualify for the school championship. And then after the school championship was done, the one who placed first would move up to here for this competition up here at the Heritage Center.
And who placed first from Solon?
Dylan Redbow, he placed first, I placed second, and then another friend of mine placed third.
I also spoke to a young woman from Solon who wished all the contestants luck. As we heard, Dylan Redbow was the school champion, and one of the poems he chose was by a well-published and widely recognized poet who grew up on Turtle Mountain. Dylan Redbow, coached by Kerry Wilson.
Battlefield by Mark Turcotte. Back when I used to be Indian, I was standing outside the pool hall with my sister. She's strawberry blonde, stale sweat and beard through the open door. A warrior leans on his stick, fingers blue with chalk. Another bends to shoot. His braids brush the green felt, swinging to the beat of the jukebox. We move away. Hank Williams falls again in the backseat of the Cadillac. I look back. A wind off in the distant hills lifts up my shirt, brings the scent of wounded horses.
Next, Natasha Bergeron from Northern Cass, coached by Don Hollister.
Dead Butterfly by Ellen Bass. For months, my daughter carried a dead monarch in a quart mason jar, to and from school in her backpack, to her only friend's house. At the dinner table, it sat like a guest alongside the pot roast. She took it to bed, propped by her pillow. Was it the year her brother was born? Was this her own too fragile baby that had lived so briefly in its glassed world? Or the year she refused to go to her father's house? Was this the holding her breath girl she became there?
This plump child in her rolled-down socks, I sometimes wanted to haul back inside me and carry safe again. What was her fierce commitment? I never understood. We just lived with the dead-winged thing, as part of her, as part of us, weightless in its heavy jar.
A poetic triple play coming up. Cameron Ault from Elgin, New Leipzig, Kansas Sailor from Cavalier Public School, and Sarah Jones from Mandan High. The first one about the frustration of living somewhere that everyone talks about but so few understand, and it starts slow and builds. The next one about being an individual in the world, I think, and the last one, the weight of expectations.
There Are Birds Here by Jamal May for Detroit. There are birds here. So many birds here is what I was trying to say. When they said those birds were metaphors for what is trapped between buildings and buildings. No, the birds are here to root around for bread the girl's hands tear and toss like confetti. No, I don't mean the bread is torn like cotton. I said confetti. And no, not the confetti a tank can make of a building. I mean the confetti a boy can't stop smiling about. And no, his smile isn't much like a skeleton at all. And no, his neighborhood is not like a war zone. I'm trying to say, his neighborhood is as tattered and feathered as anything else. As shadow pierced by sun and light parted. By shadow dance, as anything else. But they won't stop saying how lovely the ruins, how ruined the lovely. Children must be in that birdless city.
Keeping Things Whole by Mark Strand. In a field, I am the absence of field. This is always the case. Wherever I am what is missing. When I walk, I part the air, and always the air moves in to fill the spaces where my body's been. We all have reasons for moving. I move to keep things whole.
The Obligation to be Happy by Linda Pastan. It is more onerous than the rites of beauty or housework, harder than love. But you expect it of me casually, the way you expect the sun to come up, not in spite of rain or clouds, but because of them. And so I smile, as if my own fidelity to sadness were a hidden vice. That downward tug on my mouth, my old suspicion that health and love are brief irrelevancies, no more than laughter in the warm dark strangled at dawn. Happiness, I try to hoist it on my narrow shoulders again, a knapsack heavy with gold coins. I stumble around the house, bump into things only Midas himself would understand.
Cameron Ault was coached by Teresa Hsu, Kansas Sailor by Jerry Beckman, and Sarah Jones by Candace Brannon. I always mention the teachers because, as anyone who's ever had anything to do with schools know, the teachers and coaches, the people who help with the activities, make such a difference. And Rebecca Engelman, who is the chief implementer of Poetry Out Loud in North Dakota, addressed teachers directly in her introduction.
Teachers, today everything you teach has to be turbocharged with skills and the promise of advancing our students academically. Here's the cool thing, which I really feel you probably already found out, is that poetry can get you there. It's inherently turbocharged. We need poetry, and our students need poetry. They really do. Poetry helps us to know each other and to build community. Poetry opens venues for speaking and listening, which are often neglected but critically important domains to a robust English language arts curriculum. When read aloud, poetry is rhythm and music and sounds and beats. It's the most kinesthetic of all literature. It's physical and full-bodied, which activates your heart and your soul, bypassing the traps of your mind. Poetry moves us. In addition, poetry is universal and has space for English language learners. It defies rules, can be easily scaffolded, and allows for expression within a limited vocabulary. And finally, poetry builds resilience. It fosters and encourages social and emotional learning. A well-crafted phrase or two in a poem can help us see experiences in an entirely new way. Through poetry, we gain insights that may have evaded us, which gives us new understanding and strength. William Butler Yeats said this about poetry: "It's blood, imagination, and intellect running together. It bids us to touch and taste and hear and see the world and shrink from all that is of the brain only." Today, our schools are often places of too much brain only. We must find ways to surface other ways of being and other modes of learning. And we must find ways to talk about the difficult and unexplainable things in life, such as death, suffering, profound joy, and transformation. Thank you, teachers, for knowing and understanding this. Thank you for making room in your already overloaded curriculum to teach your students the value of poetry and recitation. Teachers, please stand. We have any teachers for poetry and non-poetry out loud? Any teachers here today? We recognize your contribution and applaud your achievements.
Well, let's hear some more of the results of the hard work by those teachers and students. The next three reciters are all finalists. Mary Kalb from St. Mary's Central in Bismarck, coached by Mary Huff, brings us a joyous poem from the Harlem Renaissance. And then Maggie Weeks, who was coached by Jacob Thomas at the Magic City campus in Minot, gets a little pagan with it. And then the first place winner, again, Maria Modi, coached by Lori Koenig from Fargo North. And the thoughts of a creative person about their creation, sort of.
Invitation to Love by Paul Laurence Dunbar. Come when the nights are bright with stars, or come when the moon is mellow. Come when the sun his golden bars drops on the hayfield yellow. Come in the twilight, soft and gray. Come in the night or come in the day. Come, O love, whene'er you may. And you are welcome, welcome. You are sweet, O love, dear love. You are soft as the nesting dove. Come to my heart and bring it to rest as the bird flies home to its welcome nest. Come when my heart is full of grief or when my heart is merry. Come with the falling of the leaf or with the reddening cherry. Come when the year's first blossom blows. Come when the summer gleams and glows. Come with the winter's drifting snows. And you are welcome. Welcome.
Horns by Kwame Dawes. In every crowd, there is the one with horns, casually moving through the bodies as if this is the living room of a creature with horns. A long cloak and the song of tongues on the lips of the body. To see the horns, one's heart rate must reach 175 beats per minute at a rate faster than the blink of an eye. For the body with horns lives in the space between the blink and light. Slow down the blink, and somewhere in the white space between sight and sightlessness is twilight. And in that place, that gap, the stop time, the horn-headed creatures appear, spinning, dancing, strolling through the crowd. And in the fever of revelation, you will understand why the shaman is filled with the hubris of creation. Why the healer forgets herself and feels like angels about to take flight. My head throbs under the mosquito mesh. The drums do not stop through the night. The one with horns feeds me sour porridge and nuts and sways. Welcome, welcome.
Author's Prayer by Ilya Kaminsky. If I speak for the dead, I must leave this animal of my body. I must write the same poem over and over, for an empty page is the white flag of their surrender. If I speak for them, I must walk on the edge of myself. I must live as a blind man who runs through rooms without touching the furniture. Yes, I live. I can cross the streets asking, "What year is it?" I can dance in my sleep and laugh in front of the mirror. Even sleep is a prayer. Lord, I will praise your madness, and in a language not mine, speak of music that wakes us, music in which we move. For whatever I say is a kind of petition, and the darkest days must I praise.
You are listening to highlights from the 2018 Poetry Out Loud Statewide Finals Poetry Recitation Competition. We just heard from, the last one was from Maria Modi, and before that, Maggie Weeks, and before that, Maria Kalb. Poetry Out Loud is supported by grants from the National Endowment for the Arts and the North Dakota Humanities Council, but it's organized and put on by the North Dakota Council on the Arts. And I don't know if you know, but we have a pretty brand new director for the North Dakota Council on the Arts, Kim Konakow, and she was there, and I caught her and asked her what she thought of it.
I thought this was one of the most exciting projects that I've seen since my arrival, and I'm thrilled that the North Dakota Council on the Arts is involved in it. I actually just got back from Washington, D.C., and I was at the National Endowment for the Arts, and they were the generators of this idea, and they fund it in all 50 states. So to have a project like this happen in North Dakota and to have 20 schools involved, I think is remarkable, and I'm thrilled with our winner.
Yeah, she's great, huh?
She's great. I have a recollection of my mom reading us poetry from a very early age. She mixed it in with stories and songs and lots of poetry, her favorites being Elizabeth Browning and Edna St. Vincent Millay. And I can still recall Ballad of a Harp Weaver just floating through my head as the students started to talk today. And I thought, they'll carry this with them for a long time.
Kim Konakow, recently installed as the new director of the North Dakota Council on the Arts. She mentioned Edna St. Vincent Millay as one of the poets that her mother read that she remembers. And Edna St. Vincent Millay is a good one to read out loud and often popular during the Poetry Out Loud recitations. Interestingly, she showed up in what is called the calibration round. The judges are given a kind of a free poem at the beginning that's read by somebody who's not a competitor in the Poetry Out Loud recitation contest to kind of warm up and get a feel for how to rate the poems. And the person who did that this year was an exchange student who is at Bismarck High School. Her name is Amanda Suarez, and she did an Edna St. Vincent Millay poem. Her accent is strong, but she reads with evident understanding and great joy.
What Lips My Lips Have Kissed and Where and Why by Edna St. Vincent. What lips my lips have kissed and where and why I have forgotten, and what arms have laid under my head to the morning. But the rain is full of ghosts tonight that tap and sigh upon the glass and listen for reply. And in my heart is still a quiet pain for unremembered lads that not again will turn to me at midnight with a cry. 'Tis in the winter stands a lonely tree, not knows what birds have vanished one by one, yet knows that it bows more silence than before. I do not know what loves have come and gone. I only know that summer sung in me a little while, and in me it sings no more.
That old Edna St. Vincent Millay. My mother liked her, too, and Emily Dickinson. Do you remember Emily Gilsrud that we heard from before? And she talked about how her teacher liked a certain poet, and Emily looked at some of his poems and found one she really liked. That's this one we're going to have next. And then the one that I've been kind of advance teasing about numbers that really tickled me, read by Sarah Vadnais from Bismarck High School. Emily's from Wahpeton. And then Maria Kalbigan from St. Mary's Central in Bismarck with a poem that kind of plays with the certainty of meaning and certainty, like a juggler. See what you think.
Today, by Billy Collins. If ever there were a spring day so perfect, so uplifted by warm intermittent breeze, that it made you want to throw open all the windows in the house and unlatch the door to the canary's cage. Indeed, rip the little door from its jamb. A day when the cool brick paths in the garden bursting with peonies seemed so etched in sunlight that you felt like taking a hammer to the glass paperweight on the living room end table, releasing the inhabitants from their snow-covered cottage so they could walk out, holding hands and squinting, into this larger dome of blue and white. Well, today is just that kind of day.
Entirely, by Lewis McNeice. If we could get the hang of it entirely, it would take too long. All we know is the splash of words in passing and falling twigs of song. And when we try to eavesdrop on the great presences, it is rarely that by a stroke of luck we can appropriate even a phrase entirely. If we could find our happiness entirely in somebody else's arms, we should not fear the spears of the spring, nor the city's yammering fire alarms. But as it is, the spears each year go through our flesh, and almost hourly, bell or siren banishes the blue eyes of love entirely. And if the world were black or white entirely, and all the charts were plain, instead of a mad weir of tigerish waters, a prism of delight and pain, we might be sure where we wish to go, or again, we might be merely bored. But in brute reality, there is no road that is right entirely.
Numbers by Mary Cornish. I like the generosity of numbers. The way, for example, they are willing to count anything or anyone. Two pickles, one door to the room, eight dancers dressed as swans. I like the domesticity of addition. Add 2 cups of milk and stir. The sense of plenty. 6 plums on the ground, 3 more falling from the tree. And multiplication's school of fish times fish, whose silver bodies breed beneath the shadow of a boat. Even subtraction is never loss. Just addition, somewhere else. 5 sparrows take away 2, the 2 in someone else's garden now. There's an amplitude to long division. As it opens Chinese takeout box by paper box, inside every folded cookie a new fortune. And I never fail to be surprised by the gift of an odd remainder. Footloose at the end. 47 divided by 11 equals 4. With 3 remaining. 3 boys beyond their mother's call. 2 Italians off to the sea. 1 sock that isn't anywhere you look.
Entirely by Lewis McNeice. If we could get the hang of it entirely, it would take too long. All we know is the splash of words in passing and falling twigs of song. And when we try to eavesdrop on the great presences, it is rarely that by a stroke of luck we can appropriate even a phrase entirely. If we could find our happiness entirely in somebody else's arms, we should not fear the spears of the spring, nor the city's yammering fire alarms. But as it is, the spears each year go through our flesh, and almost hourly, bell or siren banishes the blue eyes of love entirely. And if the world were black or white entirely, and all the charts were plain, instead of a mad weir of tigerish waters, a prism of delight and pain, we might be sure where we wish to go, or again, we might be merely bored. But in brute reality, there is no road that is right entirely.
The first one there by Emily Gilsrud from Wahpeton, coached by Heather Woods and Christy Marr. The second one was by Sarah Badnais from Bismarck High School, coached by Andrew Fisher. And then the last one there by Maria Kalb from St. Mary's Central in Bismarck, and she was coached by Mary Huff. A special guest at this year's Poetry Out Loud was Joseph Davis. He's an active poet in the Twin Cities now, a hip-hop poet. He's got a band called the Poetic Diaspora. Before he got going with his band, he did a poem on his own. It's kind of about just being there and getting in there and doing it.
Yes, yes, yes. If you're so excited to be alive and be here right here, right now, can you please do me a favor? Make some noise. Yeah, right on. Beautiful. You can feel the energy in the room. I am incredibly honored and humbled to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this. It's so cool to see young folks just share their voices and share their passion. And I can see how much time and effort and energy you put into this moment right here, and that's something beautiful to be a part of. I think about when I first got into poetry, the very first time I was ever writing poems, I was like writing to my schoolyard crush to like get a kiss behind the swing set or something. You know, it was really silly, really goofy. I always say my friends would be like, "Ooh, you're gonna get cooties." I was like, "So what? I want to get cooties." And it was really goofy and really silly. But poetry became a really important part of my life because around that time I actually got really sick and I was hospitalized and I missed my classes and I missed hanging out with my friends. But I would still write poetry. And during that time, I was able to pour my heart and my soul into the words and things that I couldn't quite understand, I couldn't make sense of in the world, I could make sense of through writing poetry. And of course, I had teachers and mentors and people in the community of my life who supported that writing and supported me sharing that work. And it's because of those people. Can we just make some noise real quick for teachers and mentors in the room today, the community? Because without them, this wouldn't be possible. I wouldn't be standing with you here today. So I'm incredibly indebted to educators and artists and mentors in my life who have influenced me to do what I love and pursue my passion. Help me cultivate the craft, because it's not just about recitation, it's about participation and getting involved and supporting each other as well. So I just want to share a brief poem that's been that I wrote recently that was influential on me, because it's not always easy to stand up here, right, in front of people. I'm even kind of nervous with the judges. I know they're not judging me right now, but after following y'all, like, I'm a little nervous. But I wrote this piece as a reminder to myself and anyone else of the beauty and the power and the magic that can happen when you push beyond your comfort zone and you still show up. This piece is called Show Up. We were each called to this place, this time and this season. You may not yet know the rhyme or the reason. You may not feel, think, or believe in the same things I believe in, but we've been asked to show up. Show up to this place here. Bring your full selves. Wherever you are from, you can come here to be free. Bring your head and your heart, your hands and your feet, and anything and everything beyond any duality, your sexuality, your gender, your race, your age, your ability. We all have the ability to be. Without you, there is no me. Without you, we are incomplete. I need you not just to survive, but to thrive, to come fully awake and alive with potential and possibility. Join me at the table, for it is wide and there's lots of food to eat. So show up and be fed and feed others, satiating a different kind of hunger, fueling the fire in our bellies. No matter what journey you're on, you're invited to sing a new song, breaking forth like the dawn from this platform or beyond, to laugh, cry, dance, write, breathe, and bleed into the margins and follow the call into the farthest reaches of who we are. Whether you run, walk, crawl, even if you fall, we fall in love, but just show up. Show up to answer our call to justice, to transform both the soul and the bodily world the soul inhabits. Show up with all your awkwardness and bad habits. Show up with your doubts and questions, knowing here you can ask them. Show up with your wounds and scars. We all have baggage, but just know that together we can unpack them. This is no mistake. You are not here by accident. You are here to share the stories of your sacred passage. You are the only you there ever has been. You are not the magician. You are the magic. So come. Show up to this place here where there's no grace, period. There's only grace, period. Bring your fears and insecurities. Let us marvel in the mystery. Let us listen to each other to life with a deep, holy listening. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? That is the sound of the genuine within you, the spirit stirring near you. But if you don't show up, how can anyone hear you? Show up. Even if you don't know for certain, you may have the truth and healing for which this world is searching. In this grand universe, we are but small workers, but with a big purpose because of our hearts widening the circle. Hearts that are broken, hearts that are open so a little light can shine through, a little hope for the hopeless. Wherever you go, simply know the spirit of this place goes with you. So go. Ready with sleeves rolled up, always growing, never fully grown up. Ready with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, simply to show up. Thank y'all. That's my charge to you all today. Just keep doing your thing. Keep being beautifully you. And so as I come over here to rock with my band, I want to say, like I said before, it's about not just recitation, but also participation. So I'm going to need y'all to rock with us, all right? So if y'all feel the spirit move, you're welcome to clap, to stomp, to dance, to do what you got to do to feel the groove, all right? I'm going to come over here and rock with them.
Joe Davis. Look him up at joedavispoetry.com. From his recitation at Poetry Out Loud. Maria Modi from Fargo North was the top reciter, the top contestant at this year's Poetry Out Loud. I asked her what she thought about the fact that doing this recitation, you have to take somebody else's poetry and figure out the meaning and interpret it.
That's my favorite part about poetry, actually, because it helps me connect, like, even though the author wrote it, you know, for whatever reason, I found a way to connect with the poetry, you know, with the poems. And it makes it so much easier, and it gives me joy because, like, it helps me in my life whenever I have troubles. Like, you know, I just go back to these poems and just remember how much of an effect it had on me. And I would love to have put that effect on, you know, other people as well to understand the poem.
We'll be back to Maria in a moment. We'll give her the last poem since she was the winner. One about love. And here's another one about love by another finalist. This is Maggie Weeks, who is from the Magic City campus of Minot High School. And she is doing, they have to do one from before the 20th century. Sometimes those are the hardest to interpret. Hear how she does with this one about a star and love and life and death.
Bright Star, Would I Were Steadfast as Thou Art, by John Keats. Bright star, would I were steadfast as thou art? Not in lone splendor, hung aloft the night and watching with eternal lids apart, like nature's patient, sleepless eremite. The moving waters at their priest-like task of pure ablution round earth's human shores, or gazing on the new soft-fallen mask of snow upon the mountains and the moors. No, yet still steadfast, still unchangeable, pillowed upon my fair love's ripening breast, to feel forever its soft fall and swell, awake forever in a sweet unrest. Still to hear her tender take in breath, and so live ever, or else swoon to death.
This is Bill Thomas at Prairie Public. You're listening to the very end of highlights from the Poetry Out Loud annual contest put on by the North Dakota Council on the Arts with funding from the North Dakota Humanities Council and the National Endowment for the Arts. Coming up next on Prairie Public, great music. Stay tuned for that. Next week at this time, you will hear Why Philosophical Discussions About Everyday Life. Jack Russell Weinstein interviews an expert on comics. There is bound to be some colorful philosophy in that. The five finalists of the Poetry Out Loud statewide contest this year were Emily Gilsrud from Wahpeton, Maria Kalb from St. Mary's Central High School in Bismarck, Maggie Weeks from the Magic City campus of Minot High School, Kaylee Stanger from Shanley in Fargo, and the first place winner and the reciter of the last poem you'll hear today, from here anyway, Maria Modi from Fargo North. Thanks for listening, and find a poem to read. Memorize it. Say it to somebody sometime. See what they think.
April Love by Ernest Dowson. We have walked in love's land a little way. We have learned his lessons a little while. And shall we not pass at the end of day with a sigh, a smile? A little while in the shine of the sun, we were twined together, joined lips, forgot how the shadows fall when the day is done and when love is not. We have made no vows. There will none be broke. Our love was as free as the wind on the hill. There was no word said we need wish unspoke. We wrought no ill. So shall we not part at the end of day, who have loved and lingered a little while, joined lips for the last time, go our way with a sigh, a smile.